This might not come as a surprise to you, but podcast listeners can tend to be pretty passive, kind of like a TV viewing audience where they might watch. Your listeners are listening, but they're not necessarily taking action. Nobody's sitting there watching the local news in the morning, calling the number on their screen to get their roof repaired. But if you have a podcast, or if you want to launch a podcast, and your goal is to get your listeners taking the action that you're asking them to take, and you want to build an engaged listener base of loyal fans, then stick around and pay close attention. Because in this episode, I've got my friend and fellow podcast host, Matt Drinken, here with me today to talk about a very uncommon, yet very effective way to get your listeners more engaged. Welcome to Insider Secrets to a Top 100 Podcast. I'm your host, Courtney Elmer. Let's make your business binge-worthy. Matt, I am stoked to have you here today because several years back, you had a major accident that has become a huge part of your story and that ultimately has influenced your ability to connect with your podcast listeners on a very personal level and a very relatable level. So can you talk about the unexpected lessons that you learned in going through this experience and how those lessons have impacted your ability to build a highly engaged community of loyal raving fans?
I'll take you back in time to Labor Day here in the United States in 2015, Courtney. And it was like any other day. It was a chance to hang out with some friends and family. There were about 25 people that I knew. We'd all congregated and had gone to a location where there was a zip line. And I'd been down this zip line. I'd been down many zip lines. I'd been on vacation, done it over in Costa Rica, done it in Thailand, done it all over the place. And a particular zip line I'd been down like 40, 50 times. And just this one day at this barbecue, all these people I know, I get up there to go down this zip line this time. And as soon as we begin the zip line, the harness attaching me to the zip line itself, it broke. And instantly, without any rhyme, reason, not even a chance to really prepare or think or even react, it broke and it crunched my vertebra and my spine and it knocked me out. Fast forward for the next 9 months, my health deteriorated, Courtney, to a place where I became disabled, where I couldn't leave the house. I couldn't go upstairs. I couldn't get up the stairs to get to my bed. I essentially lived 23 and a half hours a day, 7 days a week in my home office. And this, I couldn't even sleep on the couch. I laid on the floor and had to put my feet up, my legs up on the couch to keep myself elevated to sleep. It was a very, very low, dark, challenging time. Here's the moment that everything shifted and how this has helped serve me and connect with my audience is that my wife and I sat there and we were crying and we came to the conclusion that if this is going to be the way that it is, then I'm still going to give my very best effort. I'm not going to curl up in a ball and do nothing and just be a victim. If I'm disabled, then I'm disabled. So be it. There are millions of people around the world that are disabled that have far more challenging circumstances than me not being able to dunk or play a golf anymore. If I truly am not able to do that ever again, then you know what? Whatever shell, whatever frame that God gives me, I will be able to use that to the best of my advantage to serve the world. At that moment, so when I surrendered to, you know, whatever it is out of my control, and I accepted that this might be the way that it is, then everything became much clearer, became much this place of, it was still painful and it was peaceful. And in that place, I learned a valuable lesson that I still use to this day that I've shared with everyone that I can. You know, these hard things that are happening, they don't have to be the things that end our lives. They can be the things that define us in a positive way. It could be something that serves the greater good. So when we talk about how did I feel coming out of it and how do I connect with the audience because of the story, this story is something I want to share loud and proud around the world that you can do it too. Maybe you were just diagnosed with celiac disease and you're not able to eat gluten and you've been eating pasta for years. Well, you know what? That is actually something you can use to your advantage. There can be a gift in that. Maybe you're a CEO of a company and your top two department heads literally just left on Monday. And right now it's Wednesday, 48 hours later. Maybe that's the best thing that ever happened. How would you make it so if it were? So I like to ask the question of if this were actually a positive thing that happened, then how might I make that true? Now, how might the comeback be complete based on this story and this narrative that I have right now? So how do you connect with an audience around that? You share the real stuff that happened and everything around it. All right. We don't hold any punches back. We share it transparently and, you know, with full vigor, with full force. And I believe audiences really love that. They want to hear the real deal. They don't want to hear your particularly catered version of filter version. They want the real, and the real is how you connect with people. Like, you were on my show and shared your real story and had me in tears. That is still one of the top five most downloaded episodes that I have at this moment is your episode, Courtney. You know, and I've had 120 episodes and you're in the top five. Clichés are where the brilliance hides in plain sight. And right now, the brilliance is keep it real with your audience to build a real audience.
Gosh, yeah. Matt, this is, it's so good. And this is why I admire you so much. It is the realness. There's something that's missing in our culture today with social media, with our ability to instantly connect, yet somehow we're missing the real connection. We can look at someone through a screen, we can watch a video, we can listen to a podcast episode, but I would venture to say 98% of content, you don't necessarily feel connected with. And we've become a society that's very me-focused, it's very inward-focused. Earlier this week, I was scrolling through my Instagram feed, which I don't spend a lot of time on scrolling, but I had opened it up and one of the people that I follow, his video was at the top of my feed and I took a minute to watch it. And he was talking about how your niche is you. And I got to thinking about that for a minute. And I'm like, wait a second. We're all so concerned with how are we going to stand out? How are we going to compete with the competition? I mean, look, just in the podcasting niche specifically, there's a lot of podcasts out there. How is what you teach different than what someone else teaches that's similar to you? But he said this and it just hit me like a ton of bricks. And I'm curious to hear your take on this. How can we use that to our advantage in the various aspects of our business? Let's say specifically podcasting. What does that look like?
I was having a conversation about a year and a half ago with a friend by the name of Jeff Hoffman. He's CEO of Priceline, big philanthropist. And he was talking about how you really connect with your avatars, your top clients. We will call it your top listeners. So he said to me, Matt, I want you to send a text message out to your top 10 clients, really simple, asking this question through text. What's the one reason you decided to hire me and still do business with me? So I went to work. I messaged over lunchtime that day. I messaged my top 10 clients. And within 24 hours, all 10 of them had responded. And the results were shocking. They were not what I expected. And I thought they were going to say, because you bring this dose of enthusiasm into us and it's a positive attitude and you help us get the results. I thought there was kind of two things they might say. And 8 out of 10 of them did not say that at all. It said something completely different. Matt, because you ask great questions and these hard questions make us do the hard work. You hold us accountable. Those are different things than I thought they were going to say. The point and how this helps us with our listeners is that we may think we know what they want, and maybe we do. Sometimes our blind spots will hold us back. So number one strategy or tactic to really connect with your listeners on the deepest level is to ask them for feedback. Because we can always assume, like I can assume that my wife wants me to do this, and how many times have I assumed that and totally messed things up? So that's one thought, is to always ask for feedback. And think about when you're asking feedback from your listeners, what you really want to know. All right, I'm not asking for yes or no questions. I'm asking, you know, a deep down the rabbit hole question. What's the one thing that you might find the most value from the stories we share in the podcast? Or what type of listener do you gain the most value from? What type of conversation is most inspiring or challenging or thought-provoking? You can tailor the question. The thought is still the same, that your listeners are the best source of feedback. It's not going off what you think you know. It's what they want to hear. That's one thought. Second is, where is your expression of your best authentic self? You know, what stories, what experiences best give you that glimpse that they can see into your soul, see into your brain, see into your experience? Because that's what we really want to hear. We want to hear the good stuff. We don't want to hear the 30-second soundbite you see on the news. Right, so Courtney, take you for example. The reason that your episode that was on the Eternal Optimist podcast that was so popular with my listeners is because you took me from soup to nuts, start to finish, through the most difficult period in your life to date. You shared all of the granular details. I was crying in your episode, just thinking about you going through everything that you did with yourself, with your husband, with the joy of bringing your miracle child into the world, and through all of this right after your honeymoon. I mean, your story was so amazing because it was just one of those stories that was so real. You're so transparent, so vulnerable. Where are, dear listeners out there now, where are your, let's just say, your top 3 to 5 stories like that, your realest stories where you felt something? Even if you are a 46-year-old male like me, who didn't really learn emotional intelligence or how to feel until later in life, there are places where you felt something in your life. So where are those polarizing feelings you've had in your life? Notate those points on a sheet of paper, and those are probably the stories to start with if you're looking to connect with audiences on a real, deep, visceral level, is to share those experiences.
Oh, this is so good, Matt. And it's so true, because I think for many of us, we hear stories on other podcasts. We hear stories from other people. And we might think, well, I don't have a story like that. What would you say to those who might be thinking that right now, where they're like, oh, yeah, I know Courtney's story. It is pretty big and it's pretty powerful. And there was a lot of transformation. That's just amazing. And it's so inspiring, but I don't have that. What would you say to those people?
I'd say that everyone deep down feels like they have a lot of normal or a lot of things in them that are not noteworthy, newsworthy, that other people would be interested in. A lot of people have that. I feel that there are some parts of me that people don't care to hear about because it's just normal. Everyone has that. No one wants to hear about that. Well, fight the urge to believe that and let your audience be the ones that decide. Because what you might think is easy and normal and simple, no one wants to hear that. That thing that's simpler for you may not be so simple for other people. That thing which is just, you know, business as usual for you, well, guess what? It may not be business as usual for someone else. Now, with a grain of salt or a caveat, that anything out there it's worth doing well, and you're not going to be the best storyteller the first time you tell the story. So there's also an element in there of practice and get back up and try it again. So your first time you tell the story of the zipline accident that I've told a number of times, it may not have come out all that great. And every time I tell it, I get a little more niched into it, a little more practiced at it, become a little bit better at it. So I would challenge the listener that if we ever feel the imposter syndrome, keep practicing. If you ever feel like your story is too simple and others don't want to hear that, keep practicing. Because everyone out there has this magic in them and this brilliance in them. It's simply a matter of being able to get it to come out. It's not always the first time you talk about it that's the easiest that it comes out sounding like it's the best story in the world. That's fine. That's why we practice. And if you're a podcast host, you're listening to this today, and you think that the very best podcast game you're ever going to have is right now, you're the sharpest you've ever been, you are going to be the best host you've ever been. Even myself, even Courtney right now, we are simply learners in this game, sharpening our saw each and every single day. Like right now, we're sharpening just by having this conversation. So I challenge you to get out there and sharpen your saw and practice some of those stories. They're in there. Your brilliance is in there. Let's unlock it. By practicing it.
And fumbling our way through, I might add, at least for me, Matt, because I know there are many times where, look, I know it looks like I have it all together, guys, but I do not. We all know here that mistakes are just lessons. You know, most of us listening have probably removed that word from our vocabulary. Yet still, we fumble and we fault ourselves for it. And that's the piece we need to remove, the faulting of self. Because yes, we're all learning.
Bob Ross says no such thing as a mistake. Happy little accidents. You know, so those mistakes, you may feel they're a mistake. On the other side of it being bad or being a mistake, on the other side of that, there's an amazing opportunity here to learn something new. An amazing opportunity to take that learning, that what may have once been framed a mistake, and turn into a great teacher. It's a gift right in front of us. So let's use that gift to our best advantage.
If today's conversation has inspired you in any way, I would love it if you would let me know by leaving a review on the show. Then don't go anywhere, because in the next episode, we're going to be talking about something that happens a lot in the podcasting industry, but nobody is talking about this. And it's the fact that copying other podcast hosts and what they're doing on their shows and imitating that for your show without a real strategy behind it might actually be keeping your show from growing and getting the attention it deserves. So we're going to break all of that down and unpack why this happens and how to avoid it in the next episode, so that together we can make your business binge-worthy. As you might have heard me mention inside this episode, if you want to join me for our next live workshop, where I'm going to show you how to avoid the biggest mistakes that cause most podcasts to fail within the first 12 months and literally walk you through the exact framework that we teach our students to launch their shows in the top 100 and convert more of their listeners to clients, just go to theeffortlesslife.co/podcast workshop. That's theeffortlesslife.co/podcast workshop.